Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this latest edition of Straight Shooter with George Truly, coming at you at least every Monday and Friday, just with this version of my show on YouTube, my YouTube channel, and my YouTube show. Obviously, everybody knows I've got a political show on Sirius XM Polish Radio every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I definitely will continue to do that, plus my radio show on Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live every weekday as well. But on Mondays and Fridays, I like to open the week and I like to close the week with whatever's been on my mind that you wouldn't typically find me talking about on those two respective shows, or even ESPN's First Take. So today, I wanted to take an opportunity to touch on my buddy Dan Le Batard and his show, Dan Le Batard Show, and some of the things that were said, or one in particular in the immediate aftermath of the whole brouhaha involving me, Jasmine Crockett, Kerry Champion, Jemele Hill, and all of this other stuff. Dan Le Batard naturally loves to speak about these things as it pertains to the industry itself. And, you know, some of the things that he says are cool. Some of these things, some of the other things that he implies turns me off a bit. And so when I have an issue with him, I don't hesitate to let him know. It's not often, to be quite honest with you. And it's usually saddled in nuance, per se, just the things and the verbiage that comes out of his mouth and what he chooses to say and what he chooses not to say. And I figured rather than, you know, just call him and leave it at that, he doesn't hesitate to bring my name up. So on occasion, I'll do the same. But unlike how I feel about other people, I've got nothing but love for Dan, who's a brilliant dude, very sophisticated, very, very accomplished, and could still be doing a lot of great, great things in this industry anytime he chooses, which is more than I can say for a couple of people. And I'm not talking about Kerry Champion or Jemele Hill. I'm talking about a couple other people that I'm just not going to give any more shine to, because the only way they'll get recognized is if I mention them, because nobody cares what the hell they have to say. But obviously, that's not Dan Le Batard either. So, you know, before I get into anything further, I want y'all to listen to Dan Le Batard teasing with his team, having a conversation about me and what he had to say, so I can highlight for you what I took issue with. This is before I'm going to get into Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever. I'm going to segue into that naturally. You'll see exactly where I'm going before I get into the Georgia representative who recently announced she's going to be retiring and not running for re-election come January. Her last day is going to be January 5th. You'll see how I segue Dan Le Batard and what he had to say into all the things that I'm about to bring up. Play this clip for me, please.
Oh, a lot of people are going to enjoy that downfall, because a lot of people don't like the climb and don't like many of the things that Stephen A. Smith has done, including who he's been critical of, because this, of course, is going to become about race. And I want to have the larger conversation about everything happening around Stephen A. Smith politically, where he's being used as a very useful tool by the right, but also profiting with great results on all the conquering he wants to do, but bringing to his doorstep fights that are now much larger than the ones he was having when it was just sports, as he continues, because he's a conqueror, to gather audience and welcome all of these fights. But this one surprised even him.
Here's the problem that I have with Dan Le Batard as it pertains to what he just said. What do you mean a tool? When you say somebody is a tool, that's implying that I'm devoid of a moral compass, or I'm completely oblivious to what's happening to me. It's not showing me what I would always show Dan Le Batard and members of his team: a true deference to what it is that they truly feel and respecting it on its merits without attaching an agenda to it or a cloak of ignorance where they're being utilized to a point that they don't even know. And they're completely oblivious to what's going on around them. I'm very aware of what's going on. I just don't care as much as you do, Dan Le Batard. I don't care as much as other people might care because guess what? I don't feel the way that you feel and I don't share your politics in all likelihood because I've never really asked you about that. Dan Le Batard is of Cuban descent. Parents, ancestors, etc. There are experiences that you and your people have coming from communist Cuba that I don't have. So how you all feel about certain things, I don't know. I know many Cubans, for example, who support Trump. I know others who don't. When we think about the Hispanic culture, I know plenty of people who support Trump and those who don't. You know how many times I've had people, literally Hispanics, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Guatemala, Venezuela, the list goes on and on, right in my space, disagreeing with one another. One having a huge, huge problem with what, with the optics of ICE officers chasing down folks, dragging them from their cars, going to a Home Depot or someplace else and snatching law-abiding citizens because, according to Border Czar Tom Homan, they're not law-abiding citizens if they've crossed the border illegally. And that's his thing. As far as he's concerned, they're criminals. They might not be the violent criminals, but they are. That's how he thinks. And I've seen people be adamant and emphatic against them and people from the same heritage, the same culture, etc. Say, ain't got no problems with that. They didn't come over here like we did. They didn't stand in line and wait in line like we did. They didn't cross the borders properly. Ain't have anything to do with a black or a white American. Hispanics going at one another. You're Brazilian, you're Latino, feeling the same way and feeling differently than one of your own. People feel the way that they feel. Where's the agenda? That's how you feel. I am a registered independent. I don't know how many times I have to say this to people. I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm a social liberal. When it comes to abortion rights, when it comes to gay rights, I live and let live. When it comes to the impoverished and disenfranchised, they should be priority. When it comes to the elderly, they should be high priority. Those of us who are not members of the elderly and are not youngsters who are members of the impoverished and the disenfranchised, hell, stand on your own. Handle your business. Figure out a way in a capitalistic society. That's me. I've always been that way. I'm totally for LGBTQ plus in communities and their rights, with the exception of you don't get to be a male transitioning to a woman and should be competing against ladies in sports who are natural born ladies. Nor should you be a child allowed to engage in sex changes without parental consent, if you're a child. Those two things I am adamantly opposed against. But I'm all for civil rights, civil liberties, and all of that other stuff. Abortion rights? I'm not down with abortion. But I would never qualify myself as pro-life from a voter's perspective because I don't believe any man should be telling a woman what to do with their body, a grown woman. I don't believe it. I believe that's for the other to decide, not me. Who the hell am I? I'm not a woman. I don't have a woman's body. I don't know this stuff. That's their body. Deal with God. That's me. But I'm a fiscal conservative because I don't like high taxes. I don't believe the cost of living should be what it is in California. I don't believe the taxes in California and New York and New Jersey should be as high as they are. I don't believe that I should be walking home after federal income taxes and state income taxes and city taxes and all that I should be walking home with less than 50% of my money. I don't believe that. I don't believe that we should be talking about more government with a government that's got us $37.8 trillion in debt. That's why I'm not down with Mamdani when he's talking about free buses, free childcare, free supermarkets. I don't believe it'll work. Don't hate him. I don't have anything against him. I don't think those policies will work. I don't think it works in a capitalistic society, period. How come it can't be that, Dan? How come it can't be that? Stephen A., he loves his money, and he's been very, very profitable, like that rodent said the other day, reading scripture on his podcast, like he's a paragon of virtue, him, of all people, talking about women in their cans. When he was talking about Joy Taylor or talking about Molly in the past or other women, the way that he has suddenly is a paragon of virtue. Stop wasting my time. That's why I ain't even mentioned his name. I ain't going to bother with him anymore. He's irrelevant. Talking to you, Dan Levitard. How come we can't just feel the way that we feel? When we talk about me being used as a tool, yes, somebody like Fox News or Newsmax or somebody doesn't hesitate to use every sentence, every paragraph, and every supportive word that I might say about folks on the right. I've been on CNN just as much, if not more, than I've been on their channels. I've been on News Nation practically every week with Chris Cuomo for over a year. I've said a gazillion things, supportive and positive, about the Democrats. A matter of fact, I've been on the record saying, hey, I want them to win. It's just that far-left progressivism ain't gonna get it done on a national scale, electorally. Is it my fault that they don't put that stuff up there? That they don't make sure it's on their social media pages or their .com pages and stuff like that? My stuff is right there for you to use anytime you want to. How come they don't use it? That's not my problem. Is it because they want to put out their spin doctrine and make sure their pundits and their commentators are the one that's been seen, whereas Fox News doesn't care? Whatever the subject matter is, and it's something that supports their point of view, they'll put it out there. It's Sean Hannity that has me on the airwaves at least a couple of weeks a month, literally accusing me, your party. These are the people you vote for, but y'all ignore that. You ignore it. Why? And to all of those people out there that want to accuse me of being used, how come you're not resonating enough so you can get on those channels instead of me? I mean, I give out the names. I tell these networks who they should talk to. I'm no expert. I'm no aficionado at this stuff. How come you don't ingratiate yourself with commentators, pundits, hosts, and executives for these respective channels to make sure you can be heard? Since you got so much to say, why don't you do it? I'm not talking about you, Dan Levitard, specifically in that regard. I'm talking about an abundance of other people. My only point in saying all of that is to say, yo, ain't no tool being used. And if it's being used, it's by y'all. It ain't by me. Let me tell you something. I know exactly what I feel and why. And I make sure to echo those sentiments no matter where I'm at. Excuse me. It could be right here on my YouTube channel. It could be on SiriusXM, POTUS Radio Channel 124. It could be on Fox News. It could be on CNN. It could be on MSNBC. Just finished interviewing Stephanie Ruhle. I'm right here on this show. Voluntarily, I invited Joy Reid here. She wanted to come on but didn't want to talk about what happened at MSNBC. Well, damn. Gotta talk about that. That ain't all I wanted to talk to her about. But that's part of it. CNN got folks that's going to come on here. I'm going to go in there. Cuomo's been on here. I've been on his show. Bill O'Reilly's been on this show. I've been on his show. Bill Maher's been on my show. I've been on his show. How come y'all ain't on? Is everybody a tool? Is everybody being used the second they say something that's thrown over the airwaves that you don't agree with? They can't just feel that way. They must be being used. That's not how it works, Dan. I'm an American citizen and I'm a voter. And you know why I can't understand why people say stuff like this and don't understand how disrespectful it is? At the end of the day, you go to the polls and you vote about the issues that are most important to you. The difference between me and most is that I have public platforms available to me to say exactly why I vote the way that I vote and I think the way that I think. Money. You know why money means a lot to me? Because nothing's free. That's all. I'm not a slave to it. If I didn't have the remember, the contract that I have was just signed in May. What happened to all of those years that money wasn't there? What happened when I was unemployed for 2 years? For a year anyway. And I was off ESPN for 2 years. You got people running their mouth acting like, if it wasn't for ESPN, where would he be? Well, you were on ESPN, some of yous. Where y'all at? They invite you back? With Jabba the Hutt, he got invited back. How'd that work out? They asked him to leave again. And now nobody wants them. These made up stories and these made up agendas, I don't have one. I am what I am. I'm going to continue to be what I'm going to be. John Thompson once said, here's the thing I love about Stephen A. You want to know why he feels? Just ask him. Don't ask, I won't tell. You ask me, I'm going to tell you. It's very simple. It's what I've done all my life in high school, in college, when I was writing for the school newspaper and then the weekly local paper and then the daily newspaper to the Greensboro News and Record, to the New York Daily News, to the Philadelphia Inquirer, to ESPN, CNNSI before that, then Fox Sports, then after that, ESPN, ESPN.com, ESPN Radio, SportsCenter, NBA Countdown, First Take, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, more First Take. Then after that, SiriusXM again for both sports and political talk. I've been doing this all my life. They just happen to pay me now. I don't get paid. Because I have an agenda. I have an agenda of making sure that my voice is heard about things that matter to me, issues that matter to me. And it is because of that I've gotten paid. Dan Lepetar, you have a YouTube channel. You've been doing this for years. No agenda? And get used by anybody? Were your feelings inauthentic? The people you talk to, that you allude to, who are always talking about me when I've never talked about them, they don't have agendas? Jabba the Hutt don't have agenda? When he's talking? No agenda, huh? All I'm saying is, let's stop that. I'm Stephen A. Smith. This is how I feel. Here is why. If you've known me for years and you're my friend, can you at least respect the fact that I feel the way I feel? It doesn't matter whether it does something for me or not, or it doesn't. I feel the way I feel. I didn't vote for Kamala Harris, but I wasn't enamored with her candidacy. I saw what she did in 2020. She didn't even make it to Iowa. I know about the fact that there were black voters, there were black folks in Los Angeles and other places in California whose support she sought and wanted, that did not want to support her. They didn't believe in her. This is back in 2020. It's not an accident to me that she did not have a primary. Because the Dems, in their heart of hearts, I believe, knew she would lose. Whether it was going up against Dean Phillips or somebody else within the Democratic Party, she would have lost. That's what I believe. Whether it was 107 days for her to campaign against Trump or longer than that, I believe the moment he got shot, went to the ground, got back up with blood trickling down his face, surrounded by Secret Service, and raised his fist up and pumped with the American flag behind him, I believe that moment secured his presidency, his return to the presidency. I said it back then. I believe that before that happened, the only people that would have had a snowball's chance in hell of beating him from the Democratic side was Barack or Michelle Obama. Assuming Barack could have run for a third term, which he can't, because you ain't supposed to be able to circumvent the 22nd Amendment, and she wouldn't because she didn't want no parts of it. I also believe that as much as I revere this woman, because she is a magnificent, marvelous, educated woman with impeccable credentials and even greater character, I don't agree with her when she is pointing out how men are not ready for a woman president in the United States. Now when the governor of New York and the soon-to-be governors of New Jersey and Virginia are women. Not when we have women in the United States Congress. Not when we have women who have been the Democratic nominee for the presidency of the United States, not once, but twice. Not when we have a Hillary Rodham Clinton who received 68 million votes and 2.9 million votes more than Donald Trump, popular votes. Not when we have Kamala Harris, who got nearly 75 million votes, the highest amount any Democratic nominee has ever received. I don't believe that. Period. I believe AOC has a chance to win a Senate seat if she runs. I believe Jasmine Crockett should be pursuing a Senate seat so she could play a significant role in defining who our judges are throughout this country, and especially in the Supreme Court someday. That's what I believe. But I also believe that as awful, as childish, as belligerent as President Donald Trump can be, as unstatesmanlike as he can be, I believe he was right to close the borders because Biden opened them. If Biden had emulated Barack Obama's policies, I wouldn't have said a word. I would have totally agreed with him, but he didn't. He opened the borders and then said we didn't have a border problem when we clearly did as a nation. I'm not sure about these terror wars. But I think when you're $37.8 trillion in debt, you got to try something. I don't know if it's the right thing to do. I don't think it is. But you got to try something. I don't believe in the National Guards being paraded throughout the streets of America. and invading cities against the wishes of governors and mayors. But I do believe those governors and mayors who have crime infestation in their cities should be asking for some federal assistance to keep our streets safe. I don't agree with Mamdani and his socialistic approach to things, but I applaud the fact that once he became the mayor-elect of New York City, that he asked for a meeting that was ultimately granted to him by the President of the United States. And although they disagreed, they showed a willingness to at least talk with one another and engage in conversation, because you've got over 8.5 million New Yorkers to take care of in the city. And Donald Trump obviously has a connection to New York City that most politicians don't have. So showing a willingness to talk with one another and engage in dialogue about how to remedy some of the things that ail a city is something I think is the smart thing to do. That's an agenda? Or is that an American who votes simply telling you what he believes, publicly as well as privately? You want to discuss politics, Dan Le Batard? Name the time and place and I'll show up. Nobody's hiding. But if you invite me on, Dan, and I come on, all I ask is that you have the decency to not call it an agenda where I'm being used as a tool. Are you going to say you're using me as a tool? Show some respect. It's the same respect I give you. Because you don't say dumb things. You don't have dumb opinions. You have your beliefs, which have worked for you sometimes, and you and I both know have worked against you sometimes. I'd call it a lot of things, but it wouldn't be accusing you of being a tool with an agenda that you're oblivious to. Because I'd respect your intellect. That's all. Nothing else. Thank you for listening. Now I want to transition to Marjorie Taylor Greene before I get on out of here. Because once again, it's me pointing out some things. And I want the folks out there in the political stratosphere to hear what I have to say about this. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is a representative from the 14th District of Georgia. She's been in office since 2021. She's all about MAGA, the MAGA right. She's been a staunch advocate on behalf of President Donald Trump all of these years. And she's known as a fire breather. Make no mistake about that. She recently announced her resignation from Congress, said her last day in office would be January 5th, effective January 5th. And she had some things to say about President Trump along the way. She made clear she's not a moderate. She's just become an independent. It's still a populist pivot, no doubt about that, but just not something in Trump's orbit, which needs to be said. But it has been quite shocking to hear what she's had to say and to hear the turnaround that has transpired. So before I go any further, let's hear from Marjorie Taylor Greene and her announcement of her resignation effective January 5th. Listen up.
Republicans will likely lose the midterms and in turn be expected to defend the president against impeachment after he hatefully dumped tens of millions of dollars against me and tried to destroy me. It's all so absurd and completely unserious. I refuse to be a battered wife, hoping it all goes away and gets better. If I am cast aside by the president and the MAGA political machine and replaced by neocons, big pharma, big tech, military-industrial war complex, foreign leaders, and the elite donor class that can never, ever relate to real Americans, then many common Americans have been cast aside and replaced as well. There is no plan to save the world or a 4D chess game being played. When common American people realize and understand that the political industrial complex of both parties is ripping this country apart, that not one elected leader like me is able to stop Washington's machine from gradually destroying our country, and instead the reality is that they, common Americans, the people, possess the real power over Washington, then I'll be here by their side to rebuild it.
Now, here's the thing that's very, very interesting about this. If you're on the left, you're not buying a lot of the shit she's saying. Don't worry, Rashawn, I won't curse much. But you're not buying it because you've seen enough of her work. But to give you some insight into what I mean, and this is a perfect example of me being down the middle, I am fully aware of some of the things that Marjorie Taylor Greene, who in the past has looked psychotic in my mind, to be quite honest with you. While I'm fully aware of that, I'm also fully capable of appreciating what her beefs are. See what I mean by being down the middle? What I mean by this, ladies and gentlemen, is that on one hand, she's MAGA right. Well, what did MAGA campaign on and what has Trump been about? America first, America first, America first, right? Well, we've seen his involvement in the Israeli-Hamas conflict. We've seen his involvement in the Israel-Iran conflict. We've heard him talk about his involvement in curtailing, if not flat out stopping, 7 different wars. We know that he's in pursuit of the Nobel Peace Prize, something that was accorded to President Obama. Probably the reason he wants it so bad. And along the way, what we've said is, quote, what happened to America first? That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene is pointing out. You combine that with a shutdown that obviously involves Affordable Care Act subsidies because premiums are expected to skyrocket, and she knows that's going to drastically and detrimentally affect her base, and she's saying, hey, can't go for that. That's not what we campaigned on. That's not what we're supposed to be about. That's a legitimate beef. When you couple that with, okay, the Epstein files, because it wasn't the left. The left came later. It was the MAGA right that wanted those files released. Did you see Marjorie Taylor Greene at that press conference with those ladies who purportedly were victimized, wanting those Epstein files released? You see that? You see the things that she said about Trump at that particular moment in time? She talked about a traitor to a country, called me a traitor. A traitor is somebody that would do blah, blah, blah. Whether it's the women with the Epstein files and ignoring their concerns, their wishes, the desire to have the files open, or him prioritizing stuff overseas instead of addressing the concerns of the American citizens right here on our soil. These are her words, not mine. There's a lot of people that feel that way. Here's the deal, though. There are others on the left who feel differently, and they have every right to do so. Let's take AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and what she had to say about Marjorie Taylor Greene and her sudden epiphany that she can't take this anymore, and she has to step away. She has to step away from Capitol Hill, and her resignation is effective January 5th. Let's listen to AOC and what she had to say about Marjorie Taylor Greene and her true intent. Listen up.
Here's some tea for you. MTG, people are like, oh my God, she's saying all these things. Like, what's gotten into her lately. Oh, like she's bucking against Trump. She's bucking against the administration. Marjorie Taylor Greene wanted to run for Senate in Georgia. She wanted to run for Senate earlier this year in the state of Georgia. She wanted to be the Republican nominee for Senate. So she was gearing up for that statewide race, and Trump told her no. Trump said no. And the White House and Trump land shut down Marjorie Taylor Greene's personal ambitions to run for Senate. And she has been on a revenge tour ever since.
Okay. Trump should be able to relate. He's been on a revenge tour for quite a while. I don't care what anybody says. You know, at the end of the day, they probably feel he was justified. That's why they defend him. But going after Letitia James, going after James Comey, those cases were basically dropped by the courts today, by the way. Let's not forget that. Those kind of things have transpired. And if you're on the left, you do not like Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she may have gone on CNN with Dana Bash and, you know, trying to make mea culpa for some of the things that she has said. But if the left ain't buying it, you can understand why. Before I go any further about that, let's look at Marjorie Taylor Greene on CNN with Dana Bash to make sure we're clear about what she had to say.
The most hurtful thing he said, which is absolutely untrue, is he called me a traitor. And that is so extremely wrong. And those are the types of words used that can radicalize people against me and put my life in danger.
We have seen these kinds of attacks or criticism from the president at other people. It's not new. And with respect, I haven't heard you speak out about it until it was directed at you.
Dana, I think that's fair criticism. And I would like to say humbly, I'm sorry for taking part in the toxic politics. It's very bad for our country. It's been something I've thought about a lot, especially since Charlie Kirk was assassinated, is that I'm only responsible for myself and my own words and actions. And I am committed, and I've been working on this a lot lately, to put down the knives in politics. I really just want to see people be kind to one another. And we need to figure out a new path forward that is focused on the American people, because as Americans, no matter what side of the aisle we're on, we have far more in common than we have differences. Yeah. And we need to be able to respect each other with our disagreements.
Can we believe that? I mean, I want to. You know, everybody a lot of time to make mistakes. You know, verbalize mea culpas, correct the error of their ways or whatever. But there's a lot of stuff with Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's hard to believe that this epiphany took place and, you know, especially when you listen to AOC and how she broke it down and explained it, it's hard to believe. And there's evidence of that behavior that, let's just say, is very, very difficult for the mind to escape. Let's take, for example, her confrontation with Representative Jasmine Crockett out of Texas. Play that for us, please.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on.
Order, Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even you.
See what I'm saying? Could y'all put up on the full screen right there some of the other things that Marjorie Taylor Greene have been involved with so we can make sure we're clear about that, please? Put that up on the screen, Griff, for me, please. Remember this tweet right here from 2023? We need a national divorce. We need to separate red states and blue states and shrink the federal government. Everyone I talk to says this. From the sick and disgusting woke culture issues shoved down our throats to the Democrats' traitorous America last policies, we are done. So in other words, separate red states from blue states. Disband the United States as we know it. Don't be a gorgeous mosaic. Don't mingle with people who differ from you in terms of their opinions and their beliefs about what politics should reign over this country and why. Do none of that. That's what she was proposing. Again, Give it something else. Marjorie Taylor Greene, notable incidents early in Congress, promoted QAnon theories. Y'all know who QAnon is. I don't have to go there. Okay? We know what's been said about them. All right? Boosted 9/11 conspiracy content, questioning the legitimacy of what transpired 9/11. Interacted with posts endorsing violence against Democrats. Let's not forget that. Called school shootings staged. Can't forget that. Echoed Obama is Muslim videos. Ladies and gentlemen, Obama was in office from 2008 to 2016. She came to office 5 years later and still trying to say he was a Muslim, implying essentially that you ain't really an American because Zohran Mamdani is a Muslim. You ain't say anything about his eligibility. You ain't say anything about whether he's qualified or not, whether he should be able to run. But you're going to bring that up about Obama 5 years after he departed from office. How about this one? Backed Stop the Steal. Defended January 6th insurrectionist. There's more. Because it's important that y'all see this stuff. It's kind of hard to erase all of this stuff from our memories. Compared COVID mask mandates to the Holocaust. Even members of the GOP demanded an apology over that one. Promoted anti-Semitic, Islamophobic, and violent rhetoric. Okay. So whether you're Jewish, you're Muslim, whatever. Violent rhetoric. She supported that in the past. Said to Jasmine Crockett, your fake eyelashes are messing up what you're reading. We saw that video. Displayed explicit images of Hunter Biden in a hearing, which was uncalled for in a lot of people's eyes. Publicly feuded with GOP leaders Mike Johnson, Steve Scalise, and others. Okay? And obviously, it's turning into her own brand. I'm just looking at all of this stuff. Now, let's keep this. Keep it a buck. You know, pivoting to the populist movement. No longer a quote-unquote Trump soldier, so she says. She's opposed escalation in Ukraine, demanded aid cuts, said some of that money should come to, you know, stay in America. And that's no crime there. Gaza called Israeli actions genocide. Questioned U.S. support. Okay. All right. A lot of left shouldn't have a problem with that. Healthcare subsidies. Warned ACA subsidy lapse would hurt working families. Sided with the Democrats in the budget fight. Okay. Epstein files led bipartisan effort to force full release. Okay. That's when Trump really lost it, in case y'all don't remember. She's on CNN. She said she'd helped create Washington. She admitted she helped create Washington's toxic politics. She apologized for intensifying fan division, warned the current rhetoric could get people killed, was asked on CNN, was Jeffrey Epstein working for Israel, all right, and suggested foreign pressure may prevent the release of the files. Trump's response was to withdraw his endorsement, called her wacky and a traitor, and pledged to back a primary challenger. All of these things have come associated with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Keep in mind, as an aside, she entered Congress already wealthy via family construction company. All right. Estimated net worth now exceeds $20 million. So apparently when she entered Congress, her net worth was listed at about $700,000. Now it's worth over $20 million, according to public financial records and multiple outside analysis. Stock trading raised eyebrows. Reports indicate stock trades included Palantir and others just before major federal moves. She traded with Apple and AMD just before Trump's tariff announcements and market reactions. Sold treasury bills before bond sell-offs. Watchdog/orgs have called these possible insider trades. She denied any wrongdoing and claims a financial advisor handled her trades. No criminal findings came of it, in fairness to her, but even GOP colleagues cite her trades as reasons to ban congressional stock trading. Top congressional author in 2024, $178,000 in book royalties exceeding her congressional salary. Pension timings came up. Resignation timing date is 3 days after the 5-year threshold to lock in a federal pension. So these are the things that are being said about her. There you have it. Can't say she could win a Senate seat in Georgia. Don't know. I know she can win a congressional seat without Trump. Whether she could win a Senate seat in Georgia remains to be seen. Highly unlikely, I think. But in the end, here's the bottom line. It's pretty damn hard to believe that she's turned over a new leaf. That's pretty damn hard to believe. Let's call it what it is. Let's keep it a buck. The flip side to it is that if anybody can get you to change your tune, it's Trump. Especially if you deem him to be somebody that's turned against you. Either way you slice it, it's a beautiful thing for the Democrats. Because once again, you have an opportunity to work with somebody across the aisle, at least for the next month and a half. And if you can't get a vote, maybe you can get some intel about how things work over on that side of the aisle. And when we see one politician after another engaging in a lot of these different things, we have to understand that this is something to the extreme benefit of the American people. Because what is the problem that I've been complaining about for the longest time? It's an unwillingness to work with one another, to do what it takes to cross the aisle and be able to get stuff done when stuff needs to get done. These are one of the things that I've said, and these are the kind of things that I stand on, because I think it's incredibly important that we make sure we do stuff like that. In the end, we all have our politics. We all have our beliefs. And we all should be open-minded enough to be educated and to change our mind once more intel comes in our direction. But in the case, in the event that we don't, remember, we're living in a two-party system. It's a binary system. And the reality is that, unfortunately, in most elections, we're only given two choices. And neither is impressive. But if you want to be a part of the process, especially since the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and Civil Rights Act of 1964, you want to be a participant in what ultimately comes down to change. You know what you do? You participate. And you take advantage of the opportunity that was accorded to you. Stuff our ancestors fought and died for. Hopeful and prayerful that a better solution comes down the pike. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. That's all. I guess in the end, if I'm a tool, all of us are. So maybe it ain't about being used. It's about what you're being used for. And if it's to make a difference, particularly the kind of difference you think needs to be made, so be it. That's how it goes. That's it for this edition of Straight Shooter. I'll be with you on Wednesday night, courtesy of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio Channel 124 at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Got a lot of stuff to get into. My guest last week was Senator Ted Cruz out of Texas. Who knows who my guest will be this week? Stick around and you'll find out. See you Wednesday, 6 p.m., POTUS Radio, Channel 124, Eastern Standard Time. Until then, peace and love, everybody.